It's Power Lee on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday. And I'm sorry, we'll get back to the topic, and I've got a whole bunch more. Don't worry. If this one sucks for you, don't, it's all good. My friend Nick Orticelli posted on Facebook, "Every morning my thoughts about society are sort of confirmed indoctrinate rats. We used to just wait in lines maybe a foot away from the next guy. Now we stand 6 to 8 feet from each other." So I responded to Nick, "Maybe Lumi?" the body deodorant ads that we advertise, which, by the way, I'm going to buy. I'm going to try that stuff. I really think the ads are great. I'm going to try the product and see if I am fresh as a daisy. Anyway, it is 13, but I don't know. I bathe like 3 times a day. Of course, the fact that I feel the need to bathe 3 times a day may actually confirm my need to order Lumi. It's a great name for a product, I have to say. It's a great advertising campaign, I have to say, because a month ago, how many of you had heard of Lumi? None. But listening to this station, you know exactly of what I speak. It's the deodorant for one's private areas, which, as much as we might desire to be in close, intimate contact with them, I don't have to go any further. Anyway, welcome to the show. I want to take some more calls here on this. The Tops massacre terrorist racist scumbag. And I kind of run out of adjectives to describe this individual. And the reason is, A, it hit close to home geographically. But more importantly, I guess I should put this as A, it hit close to home personally. And that's why I take this as a real personal thing, because it involved friends of people that I knew. And it's bothered me since that May 14th. It continues to bother me. And I have absolutely no sympathy for the Tops mass murderer. I don't care that he's young. And I just don't think he should deprive the rest of us of any oxygen, quite frankly. But look, I could be wrong. But honestly, and I'm not trying to sound like some left-wing do-good whatever, but I do find it interesting because I wonder if this guy was a Muslim who shot up a synagogue, if we'd have as many people calling in saying, well, you know, life in prison is worse than the death penalty. My suspicion is most people would be calling up saying, tie him to a pole in Niagara Square and light him on fire alive. I mean, I'd like to think that your opinions are not influenced by the fact that if you're white and he's white, somehow he deserves a break. I'd like to believe that. Maybe that is the case. But I do kind of wonder, with all due respect and honesty, if there's a bit of a double standard going on here because he's a white boy. And I'm not trying to find racism where there isn't, but I'm also not going to ignore it when I think it might be a possibility. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And I will tell you that because you can establish guilt beyond any doubt and to a moral certainty, I personally would have no problem pumping a bullet into the back of his head and going home and sleeping quite fine. I know we don't put bullets in the back of people's heads, but that was artistic license with respect to the way in which we execute people who plead guilty to such heinous acts against the most innocent victims at the most innocent of times. Going to a grocery store to get a birthday cake? I mean, come on. Here is Tom again in DePew. Tom's idea is life, but life with hard labor. And, Tom, you're back with us on WBEN.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Okay, just to follow up on that, penal labor is explicitly allowed under the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Does the Constitution matter anymore in an era of FISA courts and people being detained without charges? Is the Constitution even a valid document, or is it just window dressing for a state which is out of control?
The state, as you call it, I'm not sure if it's the state of New York.
No. The federal government. Because I think the federal government is a government of extreme hypocrisy, and it doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden, Donald Trump, George Bush, or Barack Obama. I believe this our government is out of control. It's been out of control since Kennedy was assassinated, and the president is just a temporary figurehead.
That's correct, and the reason is the Constitution isn't being followed. There is an organization out there that's addressing the problem, which is a systematic problem. It's not a people problem. It's called Convention of States, which under Article 5 gives the 50 states an opportunity to call a convention of states, and that's not a constitutional convention, Tom. There's a big difference. Convention of States requires 34 states to come together with a resolution under a very limited scope. Convention of States in the United States today is addressing three issues: term limits, fiscal restraints on the federal government, and to reduce the size and scope of the federal government, going back to the true intentions of the Founding Fathers. We live in a constitutional republic. Our country is not a democracy. Through history, most democracies have failed. This system of government actually gives the people the power to put checks and balances on the federal government.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that, because if you represent a threat to the status quo, they will either discredit you or give you a heart attack. I'm sorry. Look, I am. You have to understand something, Tom. I don't believe this government and our Constitution live up to the American ideals. Okay, and you can call me crazy. I really don't care. But I think our country went down the tubes and our Constitution went out the window when there was a coup d'etat in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963, and those responsible got away with it, and their sons and grandsons are the ones calling the shots even today. I will believe that until the day I die.
That's probably on par with what happened, Tom, but there are 19 states aboard already, so that's 63.3% of the states now favor a convention of states. And if that takes place, and I believe it will in a very short time, there will be huge changes. For example,
I wish I could go along with you on that. I don't see that happening, and you're right about the 13th Amendment, and there are 16 states right now that do allow forced labor as part of a penal system. And everybody laughs when you say penal, but we're talking about penalty, P-E-N-A-L, penal, not penile. There's a big difference. I've heard of hard time, but still. Hold on, Tom. I want you to finish your thought, and then we'll get back on track here on WBEN. Now, whenever I talk about New York State penal law, I always get emails from people saying, "I can't believe you just said that on the radio." No, it's not penile law. It's penal law. There's a difference. And I do believe, by the way, with every fiber of my body, that the Kennedy assassination was absolutely a coup d'etat in America. And again, all I can do is recommend Beyond the Looking Glass. It's available on Amazon for less than $10. And basically, the thesis that is proven by documents from the federal government itself is that all of those so-called nutcase conspiracy theories, or many of them, Oliver Stone promulgated in his 1991 film JFK, they're not theories anymore. They're facts. Oliver Stone was more right than he was wrong. And you know how you know Here's one of the ways you know that the people who benefited the most from Kennedy's assassination still are in power in America. You know that because that movie was savaged before it was even released. It was savaged like no other movie I have ever seen or heard of in my lifetime. And let's also not forget a CIA program called Operation Mockingbird, the purpose of which was to put agents and assets into key media positions in America to influence American public opinion. And William Casey, CIA director under Ronald Reagan, said, and I'll paraphrase here, "We'll know that our disinformation campaign is complete when everybody in America knows is wrong." And given him a lot of time so far, but let's just get Tom's closing thoughts. Tom, I can afford to give you 1 minute for your closing argument.
All right, quickly, murder is murder. It doesn't matter if a minority does it, a white person. Murder is murder, and the punishment should be set for that. Secondly, the forced labor issue can be addressed through such things as lithium, cobalt, or coal mining. Asbestos abatement, road projects, and forestry. By redirecting that labor, it would actually reduce federal labor contracts and help the economy as well.
And probably piss off a lot of unions, too, at the same time.
Those are dangerous jobs, Tom. That's why they're done in foreign countries. That's why they're not done in the United States. We have those resources.
And, Tom, that's also why I suspect that if we put people into dangerous jobs, that it could be argued successfully that the punishment is by definition then cruel and unusual. But I love the way you think. I love the way you presented yourself. Are you an attorney?
No.
You should be. You should be.
I'm paralegal.
Oh, okay. I figured you had some background. Okay. Well, I can spot. I'm like a sugar cube to a bunch of flies when it comes to attorneys and doctors and cops. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call on WBEN. All righty. It's Bowerly on WBEN. And, don't worry about the cold. It's not pneumonia. It's just one of those little annoyances, you know, stupid thing. Oh, yeah. All right, it is. I had to wait for the pause. I'm sorry, I'm such a stickler. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, thanks for your calls on the situation of capital punishment for the Topps mass murderer. And, some interesting calls. I did not find any persuasive calls that made me change my mind that I believe that if you don't execute the Topps mass murderer, then you can't execute anybody, because this was planned, it was deliberate, it was cold-blooded. The individual who did it knew what he was doing was wrong at the time he did it, and in my opinion, he should be executed. He should forfeit his life. To me, that's justice, although nobody can ever bring back the dead. But we can make the guy who did it die. We can make him dead, which sounds like Vincent Mancini in Godfather 3. Hey, you know, remember the opening scenes with Joey Zaza and Vincent Mancini? I know those of you who've actually seen 3, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, the movie gets a really bad rap. And it's not, here's the thing, and I'm going to catch hell for this too, but it seems to me I've caught enough hell, so what's a little bit more hell? It's just that Godfather 1 is pretty much a perfect movie. Godfather 2 is pretty much a perfect movie on a par with Godfather 1. And Godfather 3, I think, is a very good movie. In particular, the performance of Andy Garcia. It's not a bad movie. It's actually quite good. But whether it was visual, maybe it was sequential, I don't know. It just it wasn't as good as 1 or 2, but those were really high standards to maintain, don't you think? But, you know, most people will say, Godfather 3, that wasn't any good. Connie would never have been given such a position of influence, and I'm sure they're right, but it's entertainment. It's not supposed to be a documentary. By the way, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but if that kind of stuff is of interest to you and you have Netflix, I do recommend you check out. Actually, there are two documentaries on Netflix right now that are worthy of your watching. Number one came out a couple of weeks ago, Get Gotti, which was about the federal government's pursuit of John Gotti, who, for those who are a little bit younger, was known as the Dapper Don in New York City in the 1980s. The Teflon Don, because he kept beating all these court cases, which is kind of easy when you pay off a juror like Sammy Gravano did on John Gotti's behalf. But Get Gotti is the name of the one documentary. And there's another one, and it's called Fear City, New York versus the Mafia, I think it's called. But Fear City, you can look that up online, and you can have your organized crime fill if you would like to. But I do confess to actually having bought Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone, The Godfather 3. And it's not horrible at all. And as I've said, Andy Garcia's performance is just so amazing in that movie. And the transformation from street thug to polished Godfather in the brief period of time he was with Michael Corleone is rather astonishing. Okay, there was one thing that bothered me a little bit. It's almost like they missed the part where, hey, let's send Vincent Mancini to etiquette school. Let's teach him how to be a sophisticated and suave mob boss, because he goes from street punk to suave and debonair in a very short period of time. Nonetheless, it's a movie, and it's okay with me. 4:43 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Okay, so let me I get into some other things here, because I've got like a whole bunch of stuff here to plunge into. Albany, New York. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but let me just rattle it off you. New York drivers who renewed driver's license during part of the pandemic, you face license suspensions on Friday if you don't submit vision tests. That is from the state DMV. Nearly 51,000 drivers across the state could have their licenses suspended, according to Newsday. DMV is urging drivers to submit the tests by December 1st, which, by the way, is rapidly approaching us, to avoid ramifications. Suspensions would affect drivers whose licenses expired between the 1st of March 2020 and August 31st, 2021, according to the DMV. A rule of the pandemic allowed drivers to renew their licenses online by temporarily self-certifying their vision test requirement, as most DMV offices attempted to limit crowds. Drivers were still required to eventually submit the tests. People can take a vision test from a state-approved location or submit a vision test report form. The state-approved sites and the form are available on the DMV's website. Driving with a suspended license in New York State can result in a ticket or fines of $200 to $500. It could also result in possible jail time of up to 30 days, which I really doubt they're going to put anybody in jail at this point on a suspended license. I mean, you don't go to jail for killing people or for holding up convenience stores or mugging little old ladies on the streets. I can't imagine they're going to put people in jail for this. But, you know, I must tell you that I mean, there are so many angles here, so many dimensions and layers to this particular story. First of all, I have no problem. The only problem I have is I think they should have made a bigger deal out of this early instead of on the 28th of November 2023 saying, hey, we need your vision test, meaning you got to go to the DMV office. And I'd suggest making an appointment before you go to the DMV office or go to your private provider who is approved to give vision tests according to the New York State guidelines. When I renewed my license, it doesn't really matter, but I presented the documentation that my eyesight was just fine because I wanted the corrective lenses restrictions removed from the driver's license because, frankly, they were put on when my vision was a lot different. And then in a very bizarre twist of irony, the retina detached and I ended up with better vision than I had before it detached, 20/25 in my dominant eye. So I was pretty happy about that. But there's another, and the left eye ain't bad either, I must say. But there's another dimension to this as well. And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here, but as many of you are aware, my mother, at least she likes me, I think, my mother turned 90 years old this September. And unfortunately, due to some health issues, which people tend to run into when they turn 90 years old, she basically is a shut-in, okay, with a shotgun. So now that she's basically a shut-in. So it was so stupid for her to have an automobile and to have a driver's license and to pay insurance premiums on a car she couldn't even drive. So in the past month, she sold this car. It was about a 20-year-old Toyota. She had my brother-in-law sell it for her. He got a piece of the deal, which is fine because he did the work. But she got rid of her car. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is I did not have to sit down with siblings and have the conversation with mom about, hey, mom, it's kind of time to forget about this whole driving thing because you can barely move. How in the hell can you safely operate a motor vehicle? We did not have to have that discussion. My mother is very mentally agile and probably more so than I, actually. But that's not really a hard accomplishment. But my mother she's a very smart woman. I'm not going to lie. She comes from good stock. I'm not sure what happened with my father's side. But my mother's side came from very good stock. And she basically said, and this is a 90-year-old woman speaking. Okay, I just don't do a good 90-year-old woman voice. I can do a 90-year-old man voice. When I hear it, get off my lawn. Yeah, not bad. But I'm so grateful that we did not have to sit down with mom and say, mom, we're taking your keys, we're selling your car, we're going to give you the money because we don't think you should be driving anymore. She knew that she shouldn't be driving anymore. And physically, she was unable to perform driving anymore. So it was rather easy to watch this situation unfold. And she got her money back from the insurance company. They also, I guess I didn't know this, but apparently if you're a member of the AAA for, 50 years, you don't have to pay after your 50th year anniversary with AAA. I think that's what they told her, as memory serves. But basically, my mother does not have a motor vehicle, and I'm glad she does not have a motor vehicle because, frankly, she shouldn't be driving, and frankly, she shouldn't be leaving the house unattended. And it's not because she's senile, because she's not. It's just that the woman cannot go up and down stairs. So if you can't go up and down stairs, you ought not to be operating a motor vehicle. So, you know, we take care of mom. I mean, I see her at least once every 9 months or so. And we take, my mother has a sixth sense of humor. You have to understand her text the other day. Every day she sends me a text. And the other day it was along the lines of, "I'm still not dead." Okay. I never said we were normal as a family. That would be really wrong. All right, so hold on. I want to find out if you've had that discussion and how it played out. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But in any event, if you just happen to be joining us on WBEN, we are talking about the situation of, the motor vehicle eye tests, which, again, you can have your private provider. As long as they're credited by, licensed by the state, you can have your eye test done there. There's a DMV form you can print out online that you can take to your eye doctor and have them do it. I'm not sure, to be honest, what qualifications the doctor has to have, whether an optometrist is okay or whether it must be an ophthalmologist who has to do it. In my case, I was seeing the ophthalmologist like every day, so it was no big deal to just bring in the form and say, "Hey, here, you know what my vision is like. Could you sign this for me?" It was no big deal. But as far as knowing when to say sayonara to your automobile, or knowing how to convince mom and dad to say goodbye to driving. I would love to hear your stories about that coming up in the next hour, because I have to be brutally honest, because that's just the way I am. I was dreading that conversation with mom. I was absolutely dreading it and was going to have the conversation. I was plotting the proper time to have the conversation and the proper words to use to have the conversation. "Mom, you really can't drive anymore." But as it turned out, nature took over for me. And my mother, like I said, she can't go downstairs. So she was physically unable to get to the car. So that kind of made the decision rather easy. And she got rid of the car. And check this out. It was a, I'm gonna guesstimate here. I think it was a 2003 or 2004, something along those lines. It had 20,000 miles on it. It was a Toyota in excellent condition, a showroom condition. And she got a lot more money for it than I thought she was going to get for that vehicle, given its age. But not all of you have had the luck of Tom in terms of dealing with a cell phone that is now dripping wet, in terms of having I don't think I have any rice around here, but I've got some desiccant somewhere. Yes, some desiccant. So I mummify people in my spare time. But anyway, a desiccant just means it dries something out. So anyway, what was your conversation like? I haven't done this show in like I don't know, it's been a few years. But what was your conversation like when you had to convince your dad or your mom to give up the driver's license? And look, a lot of times, frankly, to give up driving. And a lot of times, too, the insurance companies make it a no-brainer. And I forget at what age the premiums start to skyrocket again. But vaguely, I remember hearing about grandma getting an insurance bill that was absolutely whopping. And I believe it was after she had turned 90 years old. She opens her insurance bill up from the car insurance company and almost died right then and there. But ended up, you know, turning the money all over to the nursing home. But anyway, very bad financial planning on her part. But anyway, 803-0930. Have you had the conversation? Not about the birds and the bees, not about how babies are made, but about, hey, mom, hey, dad, it's time for you to give up this silly notion of driving. I'd like to know how that went and how you went about it. And fortunately, we did not have to have that conversation because mom is mentally very sharp. She's sharper than most people I know, actually, at the age of 90, and just understood, hey, I can't drive. 803-0930, the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Actually, if you saw me park sometimes, you'd probably wonder if I should still be driving. And the funny thing is, I'm a master of parallel parking, but I'm telling you, the parking spaces today are getting narrower and narrower, and the vehicles are getting bigger and bigger. You got people driving around in Chevy Silverados trying to get into, I mean, let's put it this way. I've started to carry lube in my car just to squeeze into some of these spots. On News Radio 930 WBEN.